Welcome back for Microsoft for Africa Virtual Academy. It's great to be here. Thank you for being with us. Please allow me to introduce my friend, Ibrahim Fouda, for the session as a presenter for the Exchange 2013 session. Thank Ibrahim, you have the floor.
Thank you, Omar, very much, and I'm happy to be here. That was a first great session for you, and so today we're going to be covering into a little bit of detail about the rest of the technologies included with Office 365. But before that, let me give you a little bit of an intro about myself. I work as a partner technical consultant for Microsoft, and what basically I do is I assist partners with technical pre-sales and advisory requests. So my specialty is basically around productivity and content and collaboration. So that brings in SharePoint and Yammer and obviously Office 365 as well. So it's nice to be here in Johannesburg, and I hope that you enjoy our sessions. So let's dive in into Exchange, and I'm sure you've seen this agenda today. So we've covered the new Office with in the last session, and now we're getting into Exchange and digging also into the rest of the technologies and the plans later on this day. All right, so Exchange doesn't need a lot of intro, but because it's actually the world's leading email server. So it's hosted by Microsoft now since it's in the online, it's a cloud solution. And one great thing, it's supported by the Exchange engineering team who built it in the first place. So that's very great. And we're not just saying that or claiming that. We actually have a big history in our a big history in the Exchange area that proves that. So starting almost 18 years ago, having an email on a browser and building it up to have email on a phone later on. And actually, by the time we're building voicemail on our inbox, other competitors were actually just creating their first inbox. And now we've reached up to have Exchange Online and have very large mailbox sizes that fit every need. So that's what proves that we are the Exchange is the world leading email service. So what is actually included with Exchange Online? So it includes almost everything that Exchange Server has, starting from your mailbox, obviously, your calendar, and all these features. And the nice thing is that now you can access it on your PC, your browser, your phone, and it's the same experience, basically. So you don't need to train the end users once again on Exchange Online. They're still using Outlook or Outlook Web App to access their emails. So it's highly available because it's hosted by Microsoft, as we mentioned. There are multiple data centers, Omar, that we have. And it differs on the region you have, right? So for us here in Africa, I think we're hosted in Europe. We have also very high protection for email. So we have Exchange Online protection that filters out any spam or virus that might get into your emails as well.
So just to sum it up, basically what you're saying that I get 50 gigs on the cloud. I have a fully redundant mailbox that's available 24/7. And I get all my emails anti-spam and anti-malware protected.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
With a subscription service that I pay every month.
Exactly.
Great.
And, also to add to that, you also get archiving in some of the plans. So basically you have kind of an unlimited storage in that case. So what are people looking on when they talk about emails now? And since you know the world is changing and the way we do business is changing, so now everyone has their own devices, their own laptops, so they want to be able to access their emails from anywhere and with any device. And that's what we had in mind. So we now know that there are touch devices out there. We know that people are always on the go, and they might have like an intermittent connection at some times. But at the same time, also organizations want to protect their data and make sure that this data is safe, it's not gonna be lost, it's not gonna be hacked, and that they can set all the policies and the tweaks they want to do on that service.
So is the data that transmits between the Microsoft Exchange server and the cloud, is that encrypted?
Yeah, of course it's encrypted. So even if you're kind of hacked or something, your data is still encrypted and no one can get through it. This is basically what we're looking at. So let's start first of all by some of the end user features and how we have optimized outlook for touch experience. So the whole experience is about now putting your quick actions at your fingertips, holding a touch device, so that you have the quick actions you can do. And because like mobile devices are now smaller in size than screens or computer screens, you need more area to be able to see your content. And that's what we have. So we have more space to see actually the content you're working on. And very quickly, just by hovering over some of the buttons, for example, your calendar, you can see all the agenda or all the meetings you have for today. Same goes if you just hover over the sender of the email, and you can see all their contact card and contacts and updates and everything with it.
I see on the contact card there is a telephone number. So that doesn't that mean can I dial that number?
Yes, actually, in some plans and in certain configurations, if you have an on-premise solution as well integrated, you can dial a phone number right away. And that's a feature and link that we're going to be covering later on. So inline replies, we still have the ribbon that everyone is used to have, and it's just there, but it's just, again, minimized so that you can quickly touch it with your fingertip, and you get to have the same experience you always have with Outlook. So this is the same experience you have, Omar, basically on a touch screen or on a tablet or on a Surface or anything that you're using. And Outlook is only not great on these devices. It's also great on other platforms, such as an iOS. And there is actually an OWA app. This is Outlook Web App. And this is available for iPhone and iPad. The great thing about it is that it stores your credentials, but at the same time, it does not store your data. So even if you lost your device somehow, your data is still safe and secure. And
is this a paid app or it's a free app?
No, it's a free app. It comes with your Office 365 subscription. And it's also voice activated. So now you can use your voice features and your phone to be able to do email as well. So one scenario I always have that, you know, someone sends you location email, and you want to actually know, you want to see that location on a map. So what basically you normally do is copy or either have it in mind and just copy and paste it into Bing Maps, for example. But now we have a lot of productivity features in the new Exchange, and you can build apps or install apps from the market and have that embedded inside your emails. So you can actually just open up an app, your email, and it detects automatically that there is an address in there, and you'll see the map right away, and you know where your way to go. So that's
can I use Bing Maps for this?
Yeah, and we're gonna see actually a demo for that. And apps does not have only to be like for maps or navigation purposes, and you can build your own apps. So I had this customer once who said that they have a retail business, and they just wanted that when someone sends them an email with a model number for an inquiry, for example, they'd be able just to hover over that model number, and it's gonna load up a picture showing that item from their store. So it's a very cool feature that also provides a partner opportunity to be able to build apps for their customers as their needs go. So as we said, it automatically detects your email and works ahead. Another great feature, especially in our region, and we have areas with intermittent connections, and it's obviously, Office 365 needs an internet connection. It's a cloud service after all. However, we don't want users to be interrupted and lose their productivity if the internet connection for some reason gets disconnected. So there are features such as your offline mail, and this is inside your browser, so you can actually cache your email inside your browser, and we're gonna see how you can do this, and be able to access your and read your emails, also compose new emails while you're offline. And once you're online back again, all these updates are synced again.
So this is pretty similar to the cache mode that we have with Outlook, correct?
Yes, exactly. So if you're not using Outlook and you're using your Outlook web app, you can basically do the same thing.
Okay, great.
All right, so one great thing is also the self-service options available in the Outlook web app. And normally, users send a lot of requests to their help desk asking to either change their contact details or things along the line of, I need to set up my phone to have my email running on my phone, things of that sort. Or please add me to this distribution list or something. And because we know that's kind of an overload for the help desk, we provided a lot of features that users can go ahead and automatically be able to do these features or options without needing to go back to the help desk. So,
you know, I recently used that feature in Microsoft, so I had to update my information because I relocated from Cairo to Dubai. So I had to like update my mobile phone, my home number, my emergency contact person with a new phone number, my new home address. So actually, it's pretty cool, and like you can get it fast, get it done in just a few minutes. So that was awesome.
Yeah, that's great. We use it all the time, of course. So let's go ahead and go to a demo showing actually these features for the end user features. So let me here switch to my Outlook. So here, this is the normal Outlook you're used to. This is Outlook 2013, and this is the client application installed on my machine. And I'm logged in, as you can see here, with my Office 365 account. It's very easy to set up. All what you need to do is just add a new profile, add the new account username and password, and all your email is synced in. So you can see here all my emails. You can see that's also optimized for touch. So here I have the buttons, and I'm able to switch between my calendar and also my emails, people and contacts, and I can actually go ahead and search, for example, for a user such as Katie, for example, who we're going to be talking a lot about today.
It's interesting to see those pictures in the contact list. Can you tell us more, Ibrahim, where is those pictures coming from?
So those pictures are actually your profile pictures, and you can see them whether you're on Outlook, Link, or SharePoint, and you can still see the picture in Outlook Web App as well.
Yeah, perfect. And one other thing that was actually cool when you presented that I can see that your calendar has different colors. So can you please explain like what are those colors and what do they present?
All right, so maybe you have different calendars. So maybe you have a team calendar, you have a personal calendar, and you have your work calendar. And you can actually label these with different colors so that you'd know which are different personal or team meetings or and sort accordingly. So it's very easy to see, and you go straight forward to that meeting.
Yeah, perfect.
So let's also look at what other, so let's see if I want to compose an email, for example. All I need to do, and let's, for example, reply to one of the emails I have. So let's just go to this one and just click on reply. And once I start typing in here, because it is optimized for touch, I can go up and double click on that word and just one click again, and I have all the options to change the font and copy and paste and everything. So it's very optimized for touch. The ribbon that everyone likes is still available, and you can choose to auto hide it or not. And it's a great experience. Also, there are a lot of improvements in the Outlook web app as well. So let's go ahead and, for the first time, sign in to an Office 365 with a user account. So I'm going to sign in with a different user this time. And this is Katie. And I'm using my tenant name.
You don't look like Katie.
So I'm signing in. All right, so you see I'm directed because this is actually one of the first few times I sign into this account. And you can see here that I have the Get Started with Office 365 page, which takes me through how to set up my PC and Mac and phone and tablet and gets me through all the quick links that I need. So on the top navigation here, I have the Outlook link, and I'm going to go straight to that. So you here see the Outlook web app loading. So it's a very similar look to what we have in Outlook client, as you can see. And you don't need a lot of training to be able to use it as well.
And does this work only on Internet Explorer?
It actually works on all the browsers available and also on touch other platform devices as well. So here we have our emails. And let's go through the apps that we... an example for. So here I have received an email from Robin. And Robin is talking to me about scheduling a meeting at a certain time at a certain location as well. But I have no idea where that location is. And I can see here on the top bar that there is Bing Maps link and suggested meetings link. So Outlook Web App automatically detected that there is some kind of location information in that email. And there's also some kind of a schedule or a meeting in that email as well. So if I go ahead and click on the
Bing Maps. So what you're trying to say is like Outlook is now smarter.
Yeah, it's very smart. It can parse your emails and understand what you're trying to do with it. So here, I've loaded the Bing Maps, and I can start get directions and do whatever I need to do with it. Also, if I go to the suggested meetings, you can see here that it now understands that this is, I want to schedule a meeting from 2:30 a.m. I don't want to have a meeting at this time. I hope so. So if I just click on schedule a meeting, it's going to take me to the scheduling assistant, and I can take it from there. So it's a very nice feature. And as I said before, you can build as many apps as you'd like that would make your business more productive.
So if you need an assistant to manage your calendar, you already have it in Outlook now.
Exactly. So another very cool feature I like to show is the offline settings. And this is what, as we talked, with the intermittent connections and you know, you're creating an email online and then it disconnects and you don't want to lose your what you're working on. So setting up offline is very easy. All what you need to do is just go to settings and tell it I want to turn on the offline access. It just confirms to you that you're the only one person using this computer. And this is important because it's going to cache actually your emails to the browser cache. So you want to make sure that you're the only person accessing this computer so that no one else has access to your emails. All right. So now it's done. It's just asking me to add the Outlook Web App to my favorites, obviously because I'm going to be accessing it without internet. Once I am done with that, I can click on Next, and I'm done. It's that easy.
So basically what I can do now is that I can reply to all the emails I have, send all the meeting requests that I need to send, and then when I plug online, I just... it goes out or out of my own outbox.
Yes, exactly. They're saved in your outbox until you're joined in again, and they are fired from there. All right. So another very nice thing I'd like to show, and this is very useful in certain scenarios. So I get partners who want to demo or give customers a pilot for Office 365 to try it out and see if it fits their needs. And the thing is, they have a demo email now, which is their Microsoft email, and they actually want to see their email coming on, their real email coming in, and be able to use the Office 365 Office Web App features in their email. So this is where connected accounts come in. And actually, you can also use it, for example, if you want to have your personal email in the same view with your business email as well. So if you just go to connected accounts, and add this account. So I've prepared one.
So what you're trying to do now is like basically you're adding your personal email on Gmail to your Outlook Web app.
Exactly.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Can I use this scenario in if I am migrating from Gmail to Outlook, so to Exchange, for example?
Yes, this is kind of a migration, but you're just keeping your old system up and running as it is, and you're just grabbing the emails from your other email system to your Exchange Online.
And now does it save the emails from the Gmail into the Outlook?
Yes, so if I go to my Outlook now, I'll start to receive these emails in a little bit. So let me just go back to the connected accounts and see that in there. All right, so I have it downloading now. And I can set the default reply address either to use my onmicrosoft.com email or my other email. And actually, this onmicrosoft.com domain, since we have mentioned it a couple of times, It's important to know that you can actually change that to your own domain. So if you have your personal, your company or organization domain, you can add it to Office 365 and utilize it in your Exchange and have all your emails instead of at your company.onmicrosoft.com, be at your company name.com right away.
Perfect.
All right, so it's going to take some time to grab in these emails. So one nice thing I'd also like to show. Here we go. So these are like the welcome emails from the Gmail account, and you can actually see them in there. So
that was pretty quick.
Yeah. All right. So let's see another feature we're going to talk about from an administrator point of view. But let's see how this works from an end user point of view. So as we said, it's also important to protect your data. It's good that you're enabling the end users with such cool features, but you also want to control what emails are being sent and what they contain. So here I have Garrett asking me to send some customer information to them. So if I go ahead and click on reply to this email, and I want to add an attachment. So I have this Northwind customer data file I have. And here you can see a policy tip that comes up. It's telling me this message cannot be sent because it has a lot of sensitive information in it. And if I click on show details, it's telling me why this document is basically contains sensitive information. The reason why this document does have sensitive information, because actually it does have credit card information, the credit card format with a 16-digit number. And Outlook Web App can understand that because we have set in a rule saying that if there is a credit card number, please do not send this information.
So, and what if like I ignore this kind of message and like I say, okay, whatever, I'm just going to send it. What will happen?
All right, so this is going to show up in the data loss prevention reporting from the admin site. And this is... it's going to notify the administrators that you're sending actually emails that contain sensitive information or that you have actually overridden the policy that they have set in. So it's like you cannot go away with it if this is what you're asking.
Yeah, so that means that I'm not complying to the compliance rules
exactly.
Available in the organization.
Exactly.
Okay.
So finally, we've talked about the self-service. And if I go to my options again, you can see that I've already... added connected accounts from here. And here's how Omar had edited his information when he was doing his move. So he can change his photo, contact location, and contact numbers as well from here. Or he can decide on what distribution groups he owns and what distribution groups he belongs to. So it's very useful. Also, a nice feature is the site mailboxes. And this is actually bringing in content from your SharePoint as well as emails, and we're going to talk about that later on. But I can see that I have access to it from here. All right.
And just to summarize, what you have showed now in the demo is available on Windows, iOS, and Android.
Exactly. So that's a browser experience. As long as you have a modern browser that's supported, you can have the same experience as in Internet Explorer.
Perfect.
All right. So we have talked about the end user features and enabling you to do more on any device. So now let's see what are the features that are available to keep your organization safe and remain in control at the same time. Okay. So here's a view of the Exchange Admin Center. And I'm going to log in with an administrator account in a little bit and show you actually how this works. But as you can see, it's very simple. It's a web interface. You don't need a very skilled IT person to be able to navigate through it and know his way around.
Is this the same admin center that I use if I have Exchange on-prem?
Exactly, yes.
So it's the same admin experience, whether it's on the cloud or on-prem.
Exactly.
And if I have hybrid mailboxes, they are all going to appear in that admin center?
Yes, that's true. So if you have hybrid, you can actually control your on-prem and online mailboxes from one centralized place.
Yeah, so in summary, we have centralized administration with our hybrid model as well.
Exactly. So since we are providing Exchange Online protection as well, so obviously you're protected now from spam and viruses, but you need to know the amount of spam you're receiving and the viruses you're receiving as well. So there is this controls you can set up telling you to notify the administrators and what kind of action should be taken. Should we delete the whole message or just delete the attachment that has the virus in it? So all of these settings are available and as part of Exchange Online protection as well.
So that means like I can block certain domains, I can block certain attachment types.
Yes.
Certain content that like anything that is adult or pornography or those kind of stuff, yeah. I can automatically block that and automatically it doesn't get into the end users as well.
Exactly, and you can actually block emails by region or by language. So for example, if you're getting a lot of spam from some certain location or geographic location.
China, Japanese.
Yeah. You can actually block all of this email from this location. And so it's not only about blocking emails and your threats from spam and viruses, but you also want to preserve data. So maybe you have some legal needs that you want to achieve. So maybe for financial reports, for example, you want to make sure that they stay at least 5 years not deleted in your organization. And this is where the administrator can create policies, like retention policies, preserve these emails for this amount of time, and then maybe later on archive it after that.
Just a question got me curious. Like, you used Katie before, and now you have Sarah. Are these are your slides? Are you sure? You're using anyone else?
You're using Katie for Link as well, I guess.
Yes.
So Katie is a comment for today. So I've already discussed this policy tips, and this is just the credit card example, but you can create a lot of rules depending on what you want to have. So maybe your social security number or ID number, and you can create those. And for the end user, it's just a policy tip on the top of their screen telling them that they are now breaking the policy and giving them the choice sometimes to override if they need to. All right, and finally, we have the hybrid scenario, which is actually something that makes us different from any other cloud solution, because Microsoft gives you all the flexibility and control you need. So you can have an online exchange and also exchange on-prem and have hybrid setup between them. So for end users, it's a seamless experience. They do not know where their mailbox is, and they don't actually care where it is. For administrators, they might have put it their mailbox on Exchange Online for high availability needs, or maybe for the large mailbox options they have. So it's a great option that you need. All right. So let's have a look at the admin center as well. So I'm logged in still with Katie. Let me sign out of that account. And I'm actually going to be signing in again. However, this time, this is an administrator account. Just for your info, this is a trial account that we're working on. So all of these features are available in trial. If you want to go ahead and try them out, you can do so very easily.
And is it easy to set up a trial?
Yeah, we're going to see that near the end as well.
Okay.
I'm normally not this slow at typing. However, this keyboard is different than the one I have on I use normally. All right. So I'm logged in as an administrator now, and you can see that I'm an administrator. Administrators have a lot of extra features. So they have an admin tab in here where they can manage Office 365, Exchange, Link, and SharePoint. So I'm going to go ahead and go to the Office 365 dashboard in the beginning just to give you an overview of what the admin experience is. So admins get to see, the first thing they can see is their current health. And this is the current health of the services provided by Microsoft. So we are transparent. We don't want to hide from our customers if we have an issue. no matter how big or small it's of that issue is, but you can actually see all the services provided to you with Office 365 in here, and you can go into further details. So for example, we have a service degraded for SharePoint in this case, and I can go dig deep and view the details and history of this health overview.
And does this provide, do I have the option of providing a report to the management, for example, of my company for the full service health during the past month or past quarter?
Yes, actually these reports are available and you can go look through them. So here's a detailed view. As you can see, here's the history for past 30 days, but this is just the first week. And you can see here, it's kind of a map showing me all the services I have. If I go to the SharePoint features, I have a service degradation. If I click on it, I'm going to be able to view more details about it. It's telling me what is being impacted in my SharePoint site as well. So this is the service health that covers all the workloads, whether you want to check Exchange services, SharePoint, your Active Directory services, and all. But let me get back to the dashboard and just also cover it quickly. So you have an area where you can manage all your users and groups. You can also manage your domains. And this is where you can actually add a new domain or buy a domain that you would replace your Microsoft.com domain and therefore have your email be your company name .com or .net domain right away.
So buying a domain, that means I go to one of the domain providers and I start buying my own domain from.
Yes, you can buy your domain, or if you have a domain that you own already, you can just add it right away. Or you can buy a domain right away from the portal, as you can see. If I go to the reports, here's a lot of reports that you can see. And this is giving me a lot of insight. I want to know which users are not using their email anymore. Maybe I have a user who left the organization. However, their mailbox is for some reason still active, and I want to remove that. And here's the DLP, the data loss prevention. And this gives me the reports for the policy tips. Remember that credit card example, Omar, that we were talking about?
Yes.
So it gives me the reports how many policies were broken or overridden, and I can go through them. So a lot of reporting in that area. So enough about the admin dashboard in general, and let's dig deeper into the Exchange administration. So just by going to the admin and clicking on Exchange, I get to the Exchange Admin Center. And you can see here I have a dashboard for the Exchange Admin Center as well with quick links. If I go to the recipients, I can see all the mailboxes I have for all the users, for the resources I have, like maybe a room or a projector, like what we normally do because I want it to be available on the calendar if I want to book it, groups. And as well as, this is where I can actually start my migration. And migration options are, there are a lot of migration options depending on your source system and what you need to do. It's a very simple wizard that you can go through and just migrate all your emails. So you can see also here the protection tab. And this is where I can add policies for filtering malware and outbound spam and all the features I have for Exchange Online Protection.
When what you mean by outbound is like the emails that are going from your organization to the internet.
Exactly, right? Because you don't want some person in your organization, maybe he has some kind of bot on his machine that's sending spam email from his computer, so you don't want that to happen. Also, you can set certain policies on mobile devices and which devices can connect and which devices cannot. It's a lot of features, and actually they're very easy to use. However, they give you a lot of control and a lot of tweaks that you can set up in the admin.
I think one of the things that's nice about the mobile devices is that you can also control the features and the settings available on the mobile device itself. So like if your device has an SD card, you can enable that or disable that based on your policy settings and security requirements. You can enforce a certain password that of a certain length. So you make sure that all your phones are by default secure. And as you are aware, that if we enter those passwords for multiple times and it's incorrect, automatically the device gets wiped. And also one of the features that you get as an admin, you can remotely wipe your device. So let's say I lost my phone. What I need to do is that I call my IT and I give them my alias and I tell them that I lost my device. So automatically they will wipe the device and make sure that the person that took the device does not get access to any of the information available on the device.
Those are great features, and they're very helpful, I assume, in nowadays with everyone losing mobiles every day. So that's the Exchange Admin Center in brief. So this is mainly our, we have seen how Exchange is very useful for end users, as well how it can be providing a lot of control for the administrators at the same time. So I think this wraps up our session for Exchange, and we're going to be talking about Link next in the coming session. I hope that you've enjoyed it, and keep with us, stay tuned. We're going to be taking a 10-minute break and be with you again shortly.
Thank you. Please don't go away. We have your names, emails, we can get you.